हेलो एंड वेलकम टू डू आई लाइक इट, अ शो जहां हम हर बात पे बात करते हैं. एंड इन दिस एपिसोड आई हैव विद मी अ फेलो जर्नलिस्ट टर्न्ड ऑथर हु हैज रिटन हर फर्स्ट बुक एंड इट्स अबाउट मिस्टर तलत महमूद द ग्रेट गजल सिंगर. फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल टेल अस हाउ डू यू नो हिम.
Oh well, I'm first of all, Prateek, thank you very much for having me here at your show on The Quint. It's one of my favorite platforms, so I'm really glad to come here and speak to the young generation as well. Well, how I'm related to Mr. Talat Mahmood is I'm very fortunate that I'm related to him. Actually, I'm not just an admirer of his songs and his journey and his career and his music, but he's my grand uncle. He's like my granddad, so my grandmom's brother.
You call him Bombay Nana.
Bombay Nana. Bombay. So because when we were young and as a reference point, he was in Bombay.
वो
Bombay में रहते हैं तो वो Bombay Nana है.
Okay, yeah. So you, by the way, might have to introduce Talat Mahmood to all of us.
Okay.
Because it's such a pity that, like, we don't know about him, sadly.
Sure. So the larger sense is that, yes, one doesn't know about him. And sirf naam suna hai, maybe from parents or grandparents at best. But when you sit and listen to his song list, then you will have a very strong recall value. Ke, oh my God, ye gaana unka hai, ye bhi unka hai, wo bhi unka hai. Even though they might not be on your active music list. Yeah. But if you are into the genre of golden era or you are into the genre of ghazals, you would inevitably have heard of him, not knowing that you're listening to his voice. Apart from his filmy career, he had an independent ghazal music industry career as well as the ghazal singer. So a lot of people, when they talk about Jagjit Singh ji or Mehdi Hasan Saab, one has to go just a bit back, yeah, to one generation and know that both of them came into singing ghazals only because of Talat Mahmood.
You said that Mehdi Hasan was his biggest fan. Right?
Yes, Talat there's a whole chapter of on, yeah, Mehdi Hasan being his biggest fan and how they used to meet, and he used to wait to meet him and speak with him and have this heart to heart. And it's an interesting journey for me from the point of view of a journalist, in a very journalistic sense, if I put it, if I kind of keep the emotions away, which I've tried to do throughout the book to be very neutral and fair about the story. It interests me as a journalist because his life is one which was of that time, birth in 1924 and then finding fame in the 1940s. So it literally cuts across a major part of the history of India, you know, pre-independence and partition, post-independence, new hope, new industries, establishing the film industry, establishing the ghazal music industry.
So you talked about Jagjit Singh and Mehdi Hasan, and this was going to be my first question, that whenever we think of ghazal singers, these are the names that come to mind. Why do you think Talat Mahmood's name is something that doesn't, you know, strike as
I think
much?
Because it's essentially that far back. You know, because even now, even Jagjit Singh and Mehdi Hasan Saab have gone a bit back. You have the next, which is maybe one could say Pankaj Udas and, yeah, Talat Aziz Saab, who are also lived the entire stretch of their career and are, of course, very established. But I think with Talat Nana, the case is that it was that long far back. But they've both, of course, multiple times reiterated that, yeah, if it wasn't for him, we would have never entered ghazals. Jagjit Singh used to say that Talat Mahmood is the ghazal, period. Oh. And Mehdi Hasan would say that if it wasn't for him, because he did his first, when he did his first concert as a very young lad, Mehdi Hasan Saab, he sang two ghazals on stage and both of them were Talat Mahmood songs, and the crowd started throwing money on stage, and that is the moment when he decided that this is the route to take and continue
with.
This is such a
this scene that you're describing, people throwing money on stage, this is such a Hindustani music phenomena, right? Because you don't hear about that in like Western rock concerts or something like that.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah,
even now if you look at like Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan's
the
videos,
appreciation is, yeah, that, yeah.
And it's so, well, I can't understand, being like a younger person, yes, I can't understand there would be a time that
kya concept, yeah, hai,
we have seen people like guitarists being actually offended that somebody's throwing money on stage.
Yeah, I guess that's a culture thing. Yeah. Where it's part of the appreciation.
It's part of the appreciation. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Other experiences, I was very fortunate to get in touch, which was part of my research. to get in touch with his other colleagues, like his concert manager, like for instance, his first music world tour, which was also incidentally the first world tour any Indian playback singer
exactly.
had
He's
ever
the one
done,
who sort who of brought it. Indian yes. artists going abroad to perform.
He there. Brought in that concept for India. So yeah. he was the first Indian playback singer who did a world tour. And that was also in the prime of his career when he was in the middle of music recordings, in the thick of film shoots. It was in 1956. Mm-hmm. It was in East Africa, and that was the time when East Africa, these chunk of countries, were still under the British. Yeah. So there was Tanzania, Kenya, and Zimbabwe. And in one of these countries, I think in Tanzania, they were traveling by train from one city to another. I think they were going to Dar es Salaam for their next concert. And that train was stopped by people midway. Like a rail roko. They just stopped at midway and said that we're very offended that our town is not on your itinerary and you've just been going across performing everywhere and we've been seeing these ads for other cities and you have to perform for us. And he was like, you know, we're headed to another destination and we have to reach there. Tickets are sold. Mm-hmm. They're like, nothing doing. You just stop and perform right
like
here.
Like a rock star.
Yeah.
Proper rock star stuff.
So you perform right here. And that was a small town. They didn't even have... and acoustics for an auditorium, maybe just a hall. But they set it up for him. They brought in chairs from home and filled up the place. And he was so moved. He said, I'll do it without tickets, of course. This is such a beautiful gesture.
Now that you've told me so many of these stories, which like even to me sound too good to be true. Like I'm totally judging you ki half of it must be exaggerated.
No, but I got it from the original source, which I'm so yeah. glad about this late in the day.
But what do you think... was it about Talat's voice mm-hmm. that made him such a, you know, sensation? And this is obviously before music fandom was a thing. As you're saying, like Beatlemania was considered to be the first,
right.
you know...
the world had seen.
Exactly. Yeah. The first time there was fandom, this crazy right. fandom.
Even the coinage somebody. Of that
exactly.
term. Yeah.
But in the same time, it was
right.
happening with him. So what was it about his voice?
Well, Prateek, I think it's just about that quality that directly hit your heartstrings. It's inexplicable. I think the vibrato does the magic.
Yeah, there's a chapter in the book as well, right?
Yes,
the vibrato
yes.
dilemma. I want to talk
yes.
about that as well. Like,
all right.
Why this dilemma?
I know, curious yeah. though, yeah.
yeah.
So it was the vibrato and his understanding of the lyrics that he sang. If it was, and a lot of people think that he sang only sad songs, but yeah, he had a lot of happy peppy duets as well. He was as much a hit in those happy numbers. But I think in the sad numbers, his level of understanding the lyrics and Urdu poetry was something else. He just completely took it to heart and hit directly to your heartstrings.
Did he write as well?
No, he didn't. But he was a huge Urdu literature connoisseur and he understood poetry to its depths. And a lot of poets would want their work to be sung by him.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but he was considered to be the first person to bring ghazals into mainstream film music, right?
Well, if you talk of independent India, before uh-huh. that we had K.L.
Okay.
Saigal, of
yeah,
course.
Of course.
But he passed away in British India itself yeah. just a year before independence. He was the first ghazal superstar.
Yeah.
But we speak about the first singing star, the first ghazal star in independent India post-independence. That has to be Talat Mehmood, yeah.
Now, what's this thing about the vibrato dilemma? Because like being a musician myself, that seemed very peculiar for me. Ki, oh,
right.
like it's so... It's such a specific problem to have
yeah,
for people.
I know.
Yeah, so talk about that.
Especially when it's not popular or
yeah.
except. But I'm sure it came as a shock to him because he didn't have this vibrato dilemma in Calcutta.
Okay.
His voice was very appreciated.
First of all, tell us what it was.
Vibrato is... so you tell me, how will you explain it as a musician in your understanding?
So I would... Like explaining it with an instrument would be easier, I would say.
Mm.
So if you have like a violin or something, you have these microtonal changes and expressions which add sort of some emotion and some, you know, character to your voice or the way you're playing an instrument even. So,
but were you surprised to read about this vibrato being in a voice, in a vocal cord
exactly.
and not in an instrument?
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah exactly. Which like now it has become like a technique in itself. Like you
uh-huh.
sing with a certain sort of vibrato. Like
right.
singers who have a very strong vibrato, they are considered to be, you know, special or
mm-hmm.
sexy in a way.
Right, right.
But reading that at that time, it became an issue with so many people. That was
right. Yeah. So it was appreciated in Calcutta, but in Bombay, even though he entered the city as a known name, people had heard his ghazals, people had heard his Bengali songs, but somehow in Bombay they didn't like that vibration in the vocal cord.
You say that it was considered to be a very foreign and a very exotic thing, right?
For a Western orchestra.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that got me thinking that after Talat normalized the vibrato, it's only then things like yodeling and all could have been
accepted
and appreciated in Indian film music.
Now that's
right?
a thought. That's
right?
a
because
thought.
I thought that because to me, Kishore Kumar yodeling was the first sense of modernity we got,
right.
along with that Adi Barman music.
Right.
But now, like hearing that, okay, there was like
a step before that. Yeah. Interesting.
That part was pretty interesting. So from there, I want to jump into another phase in his life where he started fighting a lot for artists' royalties and, you know, fair treatment of artists, because that's how I personally have known him. He was the first person, even before people like Saleem Javed and Javed Akhtar started
that was
his
the later
whole,
generation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what was that thing like? And has he always been like this, you know?
Yeah, he's always been a rebel in a very gentle way. His whole life was, you know, his profession and his choice of life partner. Mm-hmm. It was all rebellion. But I don't know how he managed to do it. His charm was a killer. He just did it in a very soft, gentle manner and managed to not ruffle feathers as much for too long. You know, I think that's what charming people get away with.
Yeah,
they get away
true.
With a lot of things. So that's how he managed. Yeah.
Because I'm assuming that if you're essentially going against the set pattern of an industry, right?
Of something that's one's used to and one really doesn't question. I think this came with him traveling to world tours, because he was looking at how the foreign labels or the labels in America and UK are treating their singers. I think he had he made that observation when he was traveling during his world tours, and because he was the first to travel, he started traveling much earlier than his colleagues. In fact, his colleagues followed suit, following his route. So his tours were literally setting a route map template, for his other colleagues. So I think that came from that, on what he observed of what foreign labels were doing with their singers.
And what was the reaction he got from the industry? Did it affect his work? Did it affect the kind of, you know, projects that he was getting because of this, you know, such a brazen step?
No, this happened in the early 1960s and he had as many hits in the 60s as well. And he was continuing with his world tours and ghazal, independent ghazal singing and all. So I don't think it affected him, because he was anyway very picky. He was picky in the sense that he was very particular about what poetry he wants to sing.
At that time is when a lot of modern music started coming into the picture.
Yes,
right? There was rock
the Beatlemania,
roll,
the
Beatlemania,
rock and roll.
Elvis.
Yes.
Ka whole influence. Yeah. What was his, you know, reaction to all of that? Because a lot of people say that it's because of these trends that the trend of ghazals and Hindustani influence music
affected,
started tapering
much,
down. So what was his mind state at the time?
He took it in his stride, you know, like a fighter. Like I say in the book as well, he knew that recordings were reducing. They were tapering down. He thought, well, my concerts do well. So he was continuously touring all the time. In fact, first tour was 1956, but when his recording started tapering, so in 1968 onwards, he started very heavily world touring. So one says that his career was over, because publicly people weren't getting to hear more new songs. But his concert career was very busy. He had a very busy calendar.
Which is something we even say about singers of today, right? We don't hear a new, Udit Narayan song, let's say, in every film. So, like, the general idea is that, iska toh career ho gaya, he's a has-been. But then you see the kind of shows this guy does.
So, a concert career is the latter half of an artist's career. And if you check their calendars, like you mentioned, Udit Narayan ji, Kavita Krishnamurthi, Alka Agnew,
the busiest artists.
Sonu for that matter. They have crazy busy calendars, travel careers. So that's what Talat was doing at that time in the 1960s. And his regional recordings were picking up. He did a lot more regional music than he did Telugu, Malayalam, Marathi, and Marathi was given the State Maharashtra Award for the best Marathi singer, mm-hmm. and the world tours, yeah, where he was introduced in America as the Frank Sinatra of India. Uh-huh. And in the UK, he was one of the first Indian singers to perform at the Royal Albert Hall. Uh-huh.
And, he literally opened these markets.
Yeah, he kind of found things and opened up and informed his colleagues and friends back home that these are avenues, you know.
Oh, this is also happening.
Yeah. Or in the BBC Pebble Mill Studio, the very famous Pebble Mill Studio. So he was the first Indian artist to be recorded there with the 8-piece orchestra. Mm. Yeah.
And what was his reaction to this new music? Because I always like to have this thought experiment ki all of these, you know, old school singers, what would their reaction be to, let's say, the music of today? What would his...
Noisy. Yeah, in one word. Yeah. It's too noisy.
But what did he think of all of these rock and rolls and that modern music?
Well, I know he enjoyed jazz, but then that's the genre that he was also closer to.
Yeah.
And
a lot of improvisation, a lot of, you know...
Yeah, but not maybe as much... Elvis or he did find the music noisy. His voice also didn't suit it. He understood that ek genre ka time hota hai, and that has moved on, you know. Or that has moved into a niche. It wasn't as masses as in films.
Yeah.
It moved into a niche.
Exactly, because ghazals do exist today as well, but
they're
not the
in that niche.
Mainstream music.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Mm. So we are about to close in some time. In closing, if there are a few songs that you have of him that you would want to introduce Talat Mehmood with, what would some of those songs be? That logo, matlab, dhoond ke suno ye gaane.
Acha.
Wo kaun se gaane honge?
As a youngster, what would you like to listen?
I had written them down. Ae dil mujhe aisi jaga le chal. That is one of, like, you know, I didn't know the context of it.
Okay.
And then later on, I found out that, okay, it's such a... It's actually like a legendary song in a way, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't know that, oh, ye gana
jis
ko
itna... It's a... And today's times where you don't self-inflict as much. It's a very curious emotion.
Yeah.
You know? To be so self-critical and self-inflict. Yeah.
These are all sounds that are in my mind. It's not even words. Right.
They're sounds.
So they're just sounds in my mind, and then, like, while reading the book and while listening to, because I was reading to it, listening to the playlist.
Right.
So
lovely.
That's when all of
you've
those...
done it perfectly. I'm so touched. Because, you know, when I started the Jashne Talat concert platform, when I took this show to colleges and all, and to newer portrait artists, I would say that to, if you want to bring the essence of his face, you will understand his personality if you listen to his songs. So you listen to their songs while you're preparing, while you're dancing.
Because that's what even I was doing. Like, there was one chapter, as soon as you mention a song or you write some parts of the lyrics, I would just Google YouTube, just that lyric.
See, that's how the book lives in today, you know. And that's how you read the book. And that's how I've broken down the chapters. I've made it very small chapters with a headline click, you know, that that you can immediately relate to and move on and, you know, and... And
so it's essentially like an interactive piece, right?
An interactive piece,
you listen to the song while reading and then you have the full context.
Right.
Like this whole vibrato dilemma wala part, I went to those songs and I'm like, okay, I can now see why somebody would have a problem at that time.
Nice.
Very interesting. So, I think if you are into music and if you sort of want some context to today's music, because I think his journey contextualizes a lot of things that are happening today in music.
Really?
Yeah, because like the whole thing about artists discovering newer markets. Like that is something that he did back then, but that is a question that exists even today.
Okay.
Where you'll have a Punjabi artist collaborating with a Spanish artist, let's say.
Right.
So it's just sort of trails back down the this person did a first world tour so that so many years later a Punjabi artist could collaborate with a Spanish artist and both of them can have like gajillions of views. So I look at his whole journey as like a very nice reference point of what are all the questions, issues that are currently in the Indian music scene. Because I think a lot, while a lot has changed in terms of the technology and the kinds of musical influences,
yeah.
a lot of the core issues still remain.
Right.
Somewhere.
Some are addressed, some are still
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah. the thing of royalty, it's today also it's a big question.
Of course.
So when you see somebody, you know, struggling for royalties and fighting for artists to get their fair share back, then you understand that, okay, it's that much harder a fight.
Right.
It's going to take that many more years. It needs to be dealt with that much seriously, right?
That's nice. It's really nice to hear, Prateek, because...
And same thing with the music. Like new kind of music coming in and how that changes things for the older artists.
Right.
That's a question that happens even now. Ki hip-hop aa gaya toh filmy music kya hoga?
Yeah.
There is some... like every year there are a few subgenres that break into the mainstream, right?
Right.
And then they have like their life cycle.
But I think the learning is that... everything survives and moves along.
Exactly.
You may suddenly be hit and feel very impacted suddenly. But it just... in some way or the other, it just moves along.
Yeah, we are talking about him 100 years after he was born. So clearly...
Right. It's moved along. It doesn't phase out or get over.
Yeah.
It moves along.
Yeah. Very interesting. Nice. Thanks a lot for having this chat.
Lovely. Lovely chatting.
If there's something that you would want our viewers to... a thought or a song. Oh, by the way, we haven't asked her to sing. Oh,
I was hoping you'd forget.
No. This is legacy. I am genetically connecting to Talat Mahmood.
Oh, wow.
By this.
Do you have your guitar?
I don't.
You don't? Okay, anyway. By the way, he had added the sounds of drums and guitars to his ghazal. He was very particular about the quality of poetry. But in music, he was adjustable. He wasn't stuck to the tanpura or the harmonium or to the songs. Especially, he couldn't do this in his film music, but in his independent ghazals. And it was an experiment because he thought that as his reputation is so much of this proper ghazal singer, should I do this experiment? But he did that and the sales were good of that single. Unke aane se mere haale dil, of that sort, Unke aane se mere, I don't know that very well, but it opens with the strumming of the Hawaiian guitar and goes into drums and then he sings and it's a ghazal.
Wow. See, again,
1960s,
same problem musicians have today. Should I just stick to my roots or should I fuse with other genres? It's just like it's a mirror to today's cultural and musical landscape, I would say.
Wonderful. Yeah,
so you were singing your favorite song of his.
So, this I'm singing from his film Jahara, which was with Madan Mohan ji, music composer Madan Mohan. And I've also practiced this song very well, which is your secret. Because each time I'm asked to sing, I'm like, okay, this is my safety song. Because the others are so challenging, so this is a safety song. जाने अब तुझे से मुलाकात कभी हो के ना हो जो अधूरी रही वो बात कभी हो के ना हो मेरी मंजिल तेरी मंजिल से बिछड़ आई है फिर वही शाम वही गम वही तन्हाई दिल को बहलाने तेरी याद चली आई है फिर वही शाम थैंक यू
I think and after a journalist and an author, you have
Much training is required for that. That's going to take me a very long time. But about this song, I wanted to add a thing that the point where I stopped at, that is where the Basuri comes. And that Basuri has been played by Pandit Hari Prasad Chaurasia. And that's what he mentions in the foreword as well. He's written the foreword to the book and he was very happy when I mentioned this to him. So that's a nice, sweet part of the book as well.
So talking about the book, this Talat Mahmood's The Definitive Biography.
Right.
written by Seher Zaman. Thanks a lot for having this chat with me.
Thank you.
And if there's one thing that I want to leave you guys with is just engage more with his music, I would say. Because it's more than just a old legendary singer's music, I would say. Mm-hmm. Because I know that there are a lot of, you know, 60s, 70s artists. But if you want to sort of find out where all of this comes from, where all of these musical influences come from, I think his playlists, and there are a lot of like YouTube pe, Spotify pe, you'll find a lot of playlists.
Yeah.
I think just listen to it and engage. Thanks a lot.
Cool.
Thank you. This was Prateek, and I'll see you in the next one.
You were listening to The Quince Podcast.